Well, it is a perennial question, really, for anybody who's involved in the arts. And that question is, how do you get people interested in opera and in classical music and going to see the operas? We don't have a large tradition of opera going for young folks in this country. So it's been really up to the different presenters of opera to kind of go out into the community and pave the way, as it were, for future generations of opera goers. And one person who has put a lot of thought into that is my guest who's sitting with me here in the studio. That is Christina Farrell. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Brad.
Glad to have you here. Glad to have you in Toledo. You're not from Toledo. Tell us where you're from.
Sure. I live in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which is my hometown. Just moved back there recently.
Yeah.
But this is my fourth year collaborating with Toledo Opera, and I'm always excited to be back here.
So tell us what it is you do. Now, you work with preschool children, right, and introduce them to opera. But it's much more complicated than that. You're going to have to kind of lay it out for us.
Sure. So I'm a teaching artist, and I specialize in arts integrated education, which means that when I go into the classroom, the children are learning some arts skills. So for opera, we learn a little music, we learn a little drama, but they're also learning things that relate to their curriculum and to their life and to their social emotional skills. So I'm always looking at balancing both of those and presenting the arts in a way that connects to all areas of their life.
Now, what is your background and how did you get into this pursuit?
Sure. So I was an opera singer. I still sing. I sang with the Washington National Opera for many years.
Yeah.
And while I was doing that, I fell into a teaching job, and I found I was really passionate about the kids and their excitement about music. And so I really started to explore the education part of my career more than the singing part of my career. So now I mostly sing opera for three-year-olds, which I really enjoy.
They are an appreciative audience, I'm sure.
It's not a hard sell. It's not a hard sell. I know people raise their eyebrows sometimes when I tell them I bring opera into preschools, and they think, will the kids enjoy that? But the kids love it. They don't have any preconceived ideas, and it speaks exactly to where they are. They just love it.
So you're working with Toledo Opera as part of their outreach. And so what are you doing specifically here in Toledo?
So here in Toledo, this, again, is our fourth year, our partnership. And we, this year, are working with eight classrooms in the Toledo Public Schools. And these are preschool classrooms, so children aging from about 3 to 5 years old. And I work with each classroom four times for a half hour each. And it's my job as the teaching artist to break the opera down into really small chunks. So this year we're doing The Barber of Seville. So I've identified some pieces of music that I know the children will have heard in commercials or, you know, out in the world.
Well, that's an especially good opera for that sort of thing because it's been all over, you know, media. The media landscape, as it were.
Exactly.
All you have to do is say Figaro, 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 and they get it. Right
away. Exactly.
And you do that in your curriculum, don't you?
We do. Yeah. I try to identify very small chunks, little pieces of music that the children can sing along with, that they can move to, that they can use their imagination with. So, of course, Calling for Figaro is something the children really, really enjoy.
Yeah. You were kind enough to bring in a little clip here of one of your classes where you do just that. And I want to listen to it if we can.
Sure.
Always very busy. He has lots of hair to cut, so we're going to have to call for him. His name is Figaro, so we call for him like this.
Figaro, 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 Figaro.
And just like opera, it falls apart into a cacophony of sound.
Uh-huh.
That's great. I love the enthusiasm that the kids bring to that.
Yeah. And in the classroom, it's sometimes hard for people to picture what we do, but I bring in a lot of little props. So I have a story box that represents the house and small little characters, sort of puppets that help tell the story so the children can visualize it, but then they also get to act out all the different parts.
Now, are these children then exposed to the actual production or any elements of the production? Do they get to see any of the singers performing, or how does that work?
Yeah. So a full-blown production is too much for preschool-age children. So what we do is on the fourth workshop, we bring in performers that perform with Toledo Opera. So they've identified some great young singers here in the community. Mm-hmm. And we come in and we just perform these select excerpts that the children have been hearing throughout the classroom workshop. Right. And we just perform a very abbreviated half-hour performance for the children. But it gives them that chance to hear opera singing, to see it staged, to see the costumes, to be an audience member. Yeah. So it's a very small but age-appropriate introduction to that opera experience right there in their classroom.
Do you ever feel any resistance from these kids, or are they just kind of like a blank slate ready to soak up everything that you're giving them? I mean, what's the dynamic there?
Yeah, I have been doing this program for a long time, and I've really never met a child that hasn't had a good time.
Yeah.
Again, you know, adults sort of have preconceived ideas about opera, but what we know about early childhood and young children is that they learn with their bodies, with their voices, with their imagination. So opera speaks exactly to where they are as human beings and in their development. And we also know that young children, they don't learn in compartments. So it's not like I'm just learning language now, or I'm just learning math now, or I'm just learning music now. They learn everything all together. And so when you bring in an opera that has movement and music and storytelling and characters and all this vocabulary, and they really just become so immersed in it, and their imaginations take over, and they really enjoy it. And the second day that I walk in, they're eager to tell me, oh, I told my mom about this, or, you know, we did this last time. Did you bring back the characters? So you can tell they've been thinking about it, and it's really been on their mind.
I'm thinking we should have a program like this for adults, too, where we all can sing Figaro. Maybe the exact same program, but you just bring in some, you know, adult beverages and what have you.
Yeah, and we can tell the more adult version of the story.
Yeah, exactly. And they can probably stomach sitting in the theater and watching the whole thing after that.
Right.
But that is a challenge, though. How do you transition? It's all well and good to expose young kids and to get them involved, but then they grow up, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens then? It may be that this, you know, opera as a story experience may have been, you know, a wonderful memory from childhood. Mm-hmm. How do we steward them in the direction of becoming, you know, the audience for the future?
Yeah, it's tricky. I don't know if I have the exact answer for that, but I do know that in early childhood, one of my goals is to help children learn to listen, to identify some basic musical things that they can talk about music. Is it fast? Is it slow? Is it high? Is it low? So they can be good listeners. And as part of this program, one of the things that we do is we send a lot of materials home to families. So each child gets a CD with some excerpts on it that they've heard in the classroom. And I've heard reports from parents in the past where they said, oh, I can't get the CD out of my car. We're listening to it all the time. And these are also adults that probably have not been to the opera, you know, and this might be their first exposure to it too. And so they get to share this in a really accessible way with their children. So I have met some families in the past that have struck an interest in opera because of this experience. So I think just making it feel like an easy experience rather than something that's foreign and other is the best that we can do to encourage new
audience members. Try to get to them while they're young, I guess. Always good.
Exactly.
I'm speaking with Christina Farrell, who has an organization now. It's called Opera Ignite, right?
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about what you do outside of just working with the preschool kids.
Sure. So Opera Ignite, I'm the founding director of Opera Ignite, and it's a nonprofit that specializes in arts integration education. So there are a lot of arts organizations that maybe don't have funding for an education director or just have an idea for a program, but specifically for early childhood, maybe don't know how to make it happen just for that age group. So I can bring my specialization in to help develop that program for them. And I've done that too for different age groups. So my work with Opera Ignite isn't always focused on opera. Sometimes I just do drama. Sometimes I just do music. And I really work with all ages up until college, actually, and adults. I've done some fun audience development work in the past with organizations trying to get adults to think about the art in a way that maybe connects to their personal experience.
Yeah. So you have a website, operaignite.org, right? Now, you've been in Toledo for 4 years, or you've come back 4 different times working with Toledo Opera, getting the word out to young preschool kids. How many kids are you actually connecting with during your time here?
Yeah, so typically there's about 17 to 20 children in a classroom. So this time we're working with 8 different classrooms.
Yeah.
And they're teachers. And so one of the things that we try to leave here too is some information with the teachers about strategies. How can you incorporate more music into your daily routines? How can you sort of enliven your dramatic play? How can you use little props and costumes in a way that sort of speaks to your curriculum and literacy building? You know, each year we reach a sizable, but still small in the grand scheme of things, group of children. But hopefully those teachers are carrying on some of those experiences and arts connections.
Yeah. What is the I know, you know, thinking of Art Linkletter and Kids Say the Darndest Things, you know, what's the most memorable experience you've had working with little kids?
Oh, there's so many.
You can name more than one if you like.
Sure. I'll just say this year, you know, at the Barber of Seville, one of the threads that I pulled out from the opera, there's so much sort of trickery and dressing up in costumes and hidden identities. And young children are really thinking about what's real and imaginary. So that really speaks to where they are as children. So I leave a lot of details open-ended, and I ask the children, you know, who do you think Count Almaviva can pretend to be so he can go in to visit Rosina? And the children, of course, all say, you know, Batman or Elsa from Frozen. And they
talk often, to the director.
Exactly. Because they're speaking to their experience, and I never say to them, no, Batman's not in this story. Yeah. It's their story. And so I say, well, what do you think Dr. Bartolo would say if Batman showed up? And some of the children think really hard. We had a children this week who said, you know, well, I think it should be the president, because of course, you know, Dr. Bartolo would let the president in the house. So, you know,
well, it depends.
It depends. Maybe.
Yeah. We're an apolitical show here,
right,
so we'll stay out of those waters.
Right. But I appreciated his thought and thinking, you know, who's somebody really important and special? And so you never know what those children are going to bring from their own experience.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to explore with them.
But, well, I imagine it's a great learning experience for you as well, working with the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to kind of sum it up as to the one thing that you've really learned in these years of working with children, trying to get them to activate their imaginations, what would it be? What have you taken away from this experience yourself?
Well, the consistent feedback that I get year after year in every workshop I do, teachers always say to me, you know, they'll pull me aside and they'll say, did you notice that one child? That child has never spoken before, and I heard him singing today. Or this child never joins the circle and participates, but today they came over and they danced with the group, and that was really special. Or this child, I can never get them to tell me about a story that we read, and I never think they're paying attention. But today when you came in, that child was asking you all kinds of questions about what would happen. And so for me, the takeaway is just the power of the arts that speak to children, no matter what their needs are, where they're coming from. It's going to reach each child uniquely. And it's a really powerful thing to see the arts help children overcome whatever little obstacles might be in their way to learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is filling a void, really, in music education and arts education, and performing arts in particular, because it provides such a conduit for young people to express themselves that may not, you know, be aligned with sports or some other kind of activity where they can excel. So it's nice to know that here in Toledo, here in our community, at least, we are filling that void to a certain extent with your work. Christina Farrell, I want to hear another excerpt from this audio that you brought in of your work in the classroom with kids. And can you set it up for us? It's you singing, right? You're singing Opera is a story. Is that the song? Yeah.
So we have a little kind of catchphrase, our little song that we always sing to begin and end our workshop. It's part of our routine. And I call this experience an opera is a story, because I want people to understand that opera really is storytelling, just like all the books that children learn. It's just a different way of telling a story. So we always begin and end with our little song, which is an opera is a story and all of the words are sung.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of it. That's cute. We were listening to some of that earlier, and I love how one of the kids called Figaro the haircut guy, right?
Yeah.
The haircut guy.
Yeah, the operas are rich in challenging vocabulary. And so sometimes the children just have to remember what they remember. So mm-hmm. The barber is the haircut guy.
You know, I mean, you should see if you can get somebody to do a production where it's completely designed by kids and rebranded by children. You have haircut guy, you know, and Dr. Bartolo with Batman
right. Visiting
him and all kinds of wonderful ideas. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, I encourage the teachers in between my visits to set up their dramatic play area so the children can act out their own stories. And boy, they're really creative. We have all their dress-up clothes out, and they come up with their own stories, and it's fabulous. And they sing. You know, they sing the stories because that's what I've been modeling for them, so it's really fun.
Well, you have a great, you know, the singer's voice for talking to preschool children. It's a nice lilting quality. And the fact that you can sing, I'm sure, helps a lot with communicating with them as well. Now, you just arrived in Toledo. How long are you going to be here now?
I'm here through February 1st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And doing these workshops with various schools. Now, if a school in this area wants to, book your program for their school, are you filled up already for this time around? I guess they have to wait until next season to do that sort of thing.
Yeah. It always depends on the funding.
Right.
But if anyone is interested in the program, they can contact Toledo Opera and speak with Levy Aldinger.
Yeah. ToledoOpera.org is the website. They can find that. I should mention that Toledo Opera is a sponsor in part of programs here on WGTE. Christina Farrell, I want to thank you for coming in and sharing some of this, what you're doing. It's great to know that right here in our community, you know, Toledo Opera and other community partners are doing something to really enrich the cultural happenings of our area and as I mentioned before, paving the way really to the future with young audiences. And hopefully those young audiences will turn into mature audiences as well and stay with the mission, as it were.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. I enjoyed it.
Christina Farrell, again, her website, if you want to read more about her, is at operaignite.org.